We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, "But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." Now in verse 9 there, as you've heard that, I'm sure many, many times quoted, many times preachers have preached from it, but I just want to take a little different point of it, our view of it here this morning. And if I would take a text this morning, it's just some about five different words: unthinkable, unimaginable, unlimited, inconceivable, indescribable. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Now this is the New Testament reference to what Isaiah says in Isaiah 64 and 4. And in there he says, "For since the beginning of the world, man has not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither the eyes seen, O God, besides thee, what he has prepared for him that waiteth for him." It's the same thing that Job said in the book of Job, chapter 42 and verse 3. He said, "Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understand not the things so wonderful for me which I knew not." Unexplainable, unimaginable, unthinkable, indescribable. As you think about what these men said here concerning God and who he is and what he's done, what he has in store for us. So how do you grasp things like unlimited? How do you understand things like never ending, eternal, almighty, omnipotent, omnipotent, omnipresent? How in the world do you ever comprehend things like that? The Bible is speaking of things that no human has ever seen or ever heard or has ever felt or ever experienced. And so let me just say something here as maybe as a little example or a little illustration before we get into the message. And I'm sure that we all have had dreams. I'm sure that we all dream. Sometimes I have very pleasant dreams. I like those dreams now when I dream back when I was a young man in high school and hit the winning shot and those kind of things. I like those kind of dreams. But sometimes I have some dreams that are not pleasant. Sometimes I have some dreams that sort of get you realize your blood pressure is sort of getting up and those kind of things. And you wonder, how in the world can bad things like this happen to a good fellow like me? And I know we've all had dreams like that. But what's amazing is whenever that we awake and we realize that it was just a dream. We realize that it wasn't real, that it was only a dream. And what a relief that is when you're having those kinds of disturbing dream to awaken and find that everything is just fine. Those horrible things that you dreamed about had not happened. They were just a dream. And so, and you begin to thank the Lord. I know I have. I've had dreams, and I don't know whether you have or not, people that you know and love, even family members, maybe you had a dream that something terrible had happened to them. And then you wake up and you realize it's just a dream, and you begin to thank the Lord that wasn't true. Everything's fine. So I said all that to say this, that I realized a beautiful thought when I was thinking about that came to me, that one day soon, that I will wake up and be in the presence of the Lord in my glorified body. And every one of us as the children of God, that's going to be true. We will wake one time in the presence of the Lord, having our glorified body. And the thought is, came to me as that song says, "Finally home." In other words, just think about stepping on the shore, on a new shore, and finding out that it's heaven. Just think about breathing a new air and find out that it's celestial air. And then one day we will be home and we'll be able to leave all these things that we have so used to in the human flesh. We'll be able to leave so many of those things behind. We won't have to worry about hearing aids or eyeglasses. We won't have to worry about taking our false teeth with us. We won't have to worry about taking a razor or a toothbrush with us. We won't have to think about any of these kind of things. I'll be so glad to lay aside my high blood pressure medication. I'll be glad to pour out all the vitamins that I take and all those kind of things that we take, trying our best to stay healthy. And I won't have to take any books with me to be able to study and understand this the Bible better, because the Bible says that when we get to heaven that we'll have perfect understanding of all the things. We won't have to do any more studying. We'll have a perfect understanding. The song says we'll understand it better by and by. And that's not really correct. We will understand, not better, but we'll understand it when we get to heaven. We'll know it all. And so I want you to know, too, that we'll not take any of this stuff with us. And thank God we won't even have to take our cell phones with us. Won't that be, hallelujah, that's the best news that I have ever heard. I want you to know I'm fixing to discard the one that I've got. I'm going back to the flipper. That's the best way to go. But anyway, with that being said, let me say, what will it really be like? What will it really be like when you get to heaven? Have you ever thought about it? What's it going to really be like when that happens? There's one thing for sure. No one has ever seen or heard, even thought of, the fascinating and amazing things that we'll experience when we get to heaven. It's a whole lot better than you could ever imagine. Look at some of the things with me. The first word that I gave to you in the text was indescribable. Indescribable. When the Apostle Paul and Barnabas was preaching in Lystra, the Bible says a young man who had been crippled from his birth to his age were healed. And the people got so excited about his healing, they were ready to offer sacrifices to Paul and Barnabas. They believed that their gods Jupiter and Mercury had came down among them. And they got so excited. Then a group of Jews showed up from Iconia and Antioch. And they made some accusations against Paul and Barnabas. And what that did was that aroused a mob to stone them. And Paul was stoned by the mob. And he was dragged outside of the city of Lystra. And he was left for dead. And while the disciples stood around his body, the Bible says, suddenly rose up. And was, as far as I know, was completely healed. He had been stoned and left for dead. And then all of a sudden he rose up, completely healed. And he was able to go back into the city and with the others left for Derbe the next day to preach again. And returned once again to Lystra and Iconia and Antioch. And 14 years later, after this had happened, and I believe this was the experience to which the Apostle Paul was referred to when he said over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 3 and 4. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell you, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into the paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. He is telling us what would not be possible to describe what he saw. Paul says it's indescribable. It's not possible. I was caught up into the third heaven. I was caught up into the restlessness of God. I was caught up to where God. And no doubt, I believe with all my heart that Paul died there. He was caught up into the third heaven. And so with that being said, Paul, though a brilliant man, learned at the feet of Gamaliel. So brilliant and had a tremendous command of the language. He said there was no terms. There's no words. There's no phrases. There's no verbs. There's no adjectives. There's no similes. There's nothing, he said, that could describe what he saw. And so to communicate to a finite mind the infinite things that were seen and heard and felt, he saw things that nobody had ever seen or heard before. Paul said, I saw indescribable. So much I cannot describe. When the two Marys came to the tomb And the Bible says the angel suddenly appeared and said his countenance was like lightning and his raiment was white as snow, referring to Jesus. How does one describe a flash of lightning? Said Jesus looked like a flash of lightning. Can you describe a flash of lightning? And then often when the angel appeared in the Word of God, the very first thing that an angel would say would be, "Fear not." We read when John saw the Lord on the throne over in the book of Revelation, he described the Lord as a jasper stone and a sardine stone. And then Ezekiel saw him on the throne of God and he said he was like a sapphire. My mind cannot develop a picture of God with these descriptions. I can't picture God when he says he's like a sardine stone. Or he was like a sapphire. He was like these precious stones, these beautiful stones. My mind cannot comprehend. But see, the brilliance of the resurrected Savior was such that Paul saw him on the road to Damascus and he was blinded for several days. When we get our glorified body, we'll know as we're knowing, Paul exclaimed, "Father, that we now here on this earth that we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face." He spoke of that body. And he said, "We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." We'll get back what Adam and Eve lost by disobedience in the Garden of Eden. One day we'll get that. And so with our spiritual bodies, we'll be able to understand what the Apostle Paul said. But for now, we'll just have to settle for what the words of the songwriter. And the songwriter said, "Heaven is a wonderful place, filled with glory and grace." I can hang on to that until I get to see it for myself. It's indescribable. The next word I want you to see, incomprehensible. In Genesis chapter 32, when Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord asked Jacob, said, "What is thy name?" Jacob's name meant a conniver or a subplaner. And that's what he was. His name described him very well. His name pictured him as a sinner. And he admitted that he was a sinner. And that's what we have said so many times here at the church. Before anybody can ever get saved, they must first of all admit that they're a sinner. Right. You can't get saved until you first of all realize that you're a sinner and there's absolutely nothing that you can do to save yourself. When you stand before God, you're going to stand there with nothing to plead. If you neglect the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll not be able to come up with enough good works or good things that you could ever come up with that would justify being going to heaven without the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your heart. And so here, Jacob was honest about who he was. And he was willing to admit his condition. The Lord changed his name to Israel, meaning Prince with God. And this is a beautiful picture of what happened when God saves us. In other words, we're made children of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ when we get saved. The account continues, and Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." The Lord answered with a question of his own. And the Lord said, "Here, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" Genesis 32:29. Why didn't God tell Jacob his name? Why didn't God just say, "This is what my name is"? I think the Lord might have said, "Do you have 1,000 years for me to answer that question? If I would tell you really who I am and what my name is, it'd take a whole lot longer time than we have here to tell you." And so because of all the names in the Bible that God is called, that describes his character. You can go over and over and over. Isaiah tells us that his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. How many books could be written to describe any one of these names? Among those names is El Shaddai. Among those names is Jehovah Jireh. Among those names is Jehovah Shammah. Over and over and all those Bible names down through there. How can you ever describe him? He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible of who he is. And each of these names would require large volumes of writing to give us a description of God. We cannot imagine his characteristics, his traits. And so that was suggested by his name. The third thing I want you to see is the unthinkable. The unthinkable. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. How big is God? I know that was something we used to that we'd ask children. How big do you think God is? And I know some children say he's about that big and he's about this big and all those kind of things. But the question is, how big to you? How big is God? How big is the creation of God? Can one imagine what is out there in the creation that God has made? Can you imagine the massness of the creation? Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. We do not have minds adequate enough to conceive the vastness of the handiwork of God. Our minds are not capable of comprehending the vastness of the handiwork of God. The sun is 93 million miles from the earth. Can you imagine that? I get wore out driving 10 miles. The sun is 93 million miles from the earth. It's 866,000 miles in diameter. And the earth is only 8,000 miles in diameter. There's a star in our universe named Acris, which is more than 15,000 times bigger than the sun. Can you wrap your mind around that? Can you think of that? Our galaxy is made up of over 100 billion stars. And there's many other galaxies out there. My, my, my. Can you comprehend unthinkable? It's unthinkable. And so God said to Abraham, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sands of the seas measured, so will I multiply the seeds of David, my servant. And Levites that minister unto thee. Jeremiah 33:22. Surely the heavens declares the handiwork of God. Surely the heavens declare what a great and awesome and mighty God that we serve today. And so the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Even in this one world, God is particularly infinite. Now you listen to me. The human body, this body that you're sitting here in this morning, the human body tells us is made up of trillions of cells, each functioning like a bee's in a beehive. The body, somebody said, and I wish I was smart enough to come up with this, but I didn't. But listen to this and think about this. Think about your body. Somebody said that your body is like a city. Your body has its own electric company. Now you think about this. It has the power. It has a telephone company. Your brain sending messages, causing your hands to move and all those kinds. It has a telephone company. It has a power grid. It has a controlling government. It has a police force. It has a trucking company. All those cells are carrying off waste products and all those kind of things. You just think about how magnificently made your body is. It has a police force. It has a transportation system. It has a waste system. It has a water company. It has a hospital with medical service. How that your blood cells fights off disease and all those kind of things. I'm not no doctor. I dropped out of school right before I got my degree in medicine. And so it's got all of these things. And your body, how magnificent that is made. Each cell has millions of molecules, has millions of atoms, tens of thousands of genes, an amazing DNA code that's built in. You have a DNA code that nobody else has that can identify you with all of that. How can you think of a God that is able to make something that magnificent? How marvelous that it is. Look what the Word of God, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or things, were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Colossians 1:16-17. Then the fourth thing I want you to see is unmeasured love. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and he said, "The love of Christ, which passeth knowledge." He spoke of his desire that believers might be able to comprehend and understand the love of God. He talked of its breadth. He talked of its height. He talked of its length. He talked of love. He was saying that the love of God is wider and longer and deeper and higher than anyone has ever seen or heard or felt or told. How do you describe love like that? There's no human way to measure the love of God. You can't take a ruler and measure it. You can't take a scale and weigh it. You can't test the love of God in a test tube. You can't focus it through a periscope or locate it with a GPS. You can't analyze it with a computer or call. Listen, you can't even Google it and describe the love of God. Jesus gave us commandment that we love one another with the same measure that He loved us. John 13:34 said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." And so he says here, how much did God love His Son? Do you know that, man? Do you know that? How much did God love His Son? I can't comprehend that. Gosh, I know how much I love my daughter and my grandchildren. And that's, to me, that seems like an awful lot. But I know when you start to think about how much did God love Jesus. Listen to what He's saying. He says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." Jesus said, "With as much love as the Father loved me, I love you with that much love." Jesus said that. Can you measure that kind of love, how much Jesus loves you? And then we run around whining and griping and complaining and saying, "Nobody loves me." Why don't you wake up and get alive and realize that the one that really matters loves you more than, with a love greater than you could ever comprehend. He loves you. He loves you. So, does anyone have an answer to that? Jesus tells us that same love, on that same level of love that God loves Him, He loves us. And He asked us to have that same measure of love for one another. He wants us to love sinners with that same level of love. Humanly, that's impossible. That's impossible for me humanly. And for you humanly. And I want you to get that word humanly. It is impossible for us to love one another on that level. If it's humanly impossible, why did God ask us to do that then? But if we can surrender, and if we can yield, and if we can dedicate and submit and die to self, and completely submit ourselves to the Lord Jesus, He will love through us with a measure of love that is well over our head. We commit ourselves to Him. It's not about us loving. It's about allowing Jesus to love other people through us on the same level of love that the Father loved Him. When one is filled with the Holy Spirit of God, there can be the supernatural love. introduced in and through us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, the Bible says. You have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and then one of His fruits is love. Dr. John R. Rice wrote a beautiful song with the words, "What words can I find to tell Jesus I love Him? Because He first loved me." And the next thing I want you to see is inconceivable answers to prayers. Can a human, can me, can you, as a child of God, can we really get answers to our prayers? Can we really have prayers answered? Is that possible? Listen to what the Bible says that the Lord is able to do and would do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Again, that's over our heads. These are amazing words, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. If we simply meet the conditions, we can ask for anything we desire, and He will grant it. Now, don't miss what I said. I said, if we meet the conditions. The first condition there, He said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you. He said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. There's another requirement, delight thyself in the Lord. Can I get answers to my prayer? He said, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments. There's another one. Do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know that He hears us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of Him. All I have to do is to get Him to hear me. That's all that I have to do is to get my prayers answered. I first of all got to get Him to hear me. He hears me when I abide in Him and His word abides in me. He hears me whenever I delight myself in Him. He hears me whenever that I obey His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. We remember that Jesus saying concerning His prayer to His Father, He said, I knew that Thou hearest me always. Then He reminded us, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I've got known sin in my life, I can pray as long as I want to, but God said, He will not hear me. The only way that you can get Him hearing you is confess that sin and get back in fellowship with Him. Then He will hear you. Listen to what this preacher's saying. And so then, unimaginable peace. There's a peace that passes all understanding. You can't describe it. Can you describe the peace that you have since you met the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you remember how you were before you got saved? I can remember how I was afraid to go to sleep of a night. I was afraid that if I died in my sleep, I'd wake up in hell. I can remember how restless that I was all the time. It was all the time going through my mind. What if something happens? Every time I was doing something sort of risky, I'd think of that. Every time my heart would flutter, I'd think of that. But now, since I've known the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have that peace that passes all understanding.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at uniontemplefwb.org.